And they were still thankful. They were thankful for Almighty God, for what He had done, what He had brought them through, and what He had brought them to. And they were thankful. Listen to what George Washington had to say on November the 26th, 1789. George Washington issued a proclamation for a nationwide day of thanksgiving. He made it clear this day should be one of prayer and giving thanks to God. It was celebrated by people of all religions, denominations throughout this country. That particular day, George Washington said, should be a day of prayer and thanksgiving. Wow. The nation continued on in that theme about thanking God and understanding that we should be thankful to God because of the great things He had done for our forefathers, the pilgrims, the nation that He had allowed us to have. Still today, with all of our problems and issues here in this nation, it is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Listen to what Abraham Lincoln had to say. He made a proclamation in 1863. He said, designating the last Thursday of November as Thanksgiving Day, a day for the nation to give thanks to Almighty God. The date was later changed to the fourth Thursday of November by President Franklin Roosevelt. Again, we see all the way up to Abraham Lincoln still thanking God for this great nation that He has given us, for the great things that God had given to the people of this nation. But folks, sadly to say, things started to change in this nation. And I hate to say it, but it wasn't for the good. In 1962 was the year the Supreme Court banned prayer in schools. 1963, the Supreme Court banned the reading of the Bible in schools. In 1980, the Supreme Court said that the Ten Commandments could not be posted in public buildings anymore. We started drifting from being thankful to God to start taking things away that had to do with God. A little fourth grade boy put it this way. The pilgrims came here seeking freedom of you know what. When they landed, they gave thanks to you know who. Because of them, we can worship each Sunday you know where. That's the nation that we live in today. Listen to what William Bennett had to say, Secretary of Education under Ronald Reagan. He said, in too many places in American education, religion has been ignored, banned, or shunned in ways that serve neither knowledge, nor the Constitution, nor sound public policy. There is no good curriculum or constitutional reason for textbooks to ignore, as many do, the role of religion in the founding of this country or its prominent place in the lives of many of its citizens. We should acknowledge that religion, from the pilgrims to the civil rights struggle, is an important part of our history, civics, literature, art, music, poetry, and politics. And we should insist that our schools tell the truth about it. Folks, just in those few comments right there that some of the leaders have made since this country started, can you see how things have changed? I think we can honestly say that it really started changing when we saw Madeleine O'Hara file the lawsuit to take prayer out of schools. If you go back and do the study and then the research, you'll find from that point forward, the test scores of students started falling. We started seeing all kind of negative results as a response to that. God is a God that if we want to walk away from Him, He will let us. But He'll also let us see what happens when He is not there. When you have an absence of God, you're going to have an influx of evil. That's the world that we live in. And I really feel like a lot of this is caused for the simple fact that we have forgotten to give thanks to God. And you might say, well, Brother Ed, that's kind of a little thing, but I want to look at that tonight just for a few minutes to see what that leads to. Folks, when we don't give thanks to God, we start feeling that we're self-sufficient. We feel selfish. We get arrogant. Then the next thing that happens is we get pride in our hearts. God tells us how dangerous it is to have pride in our lives. God hates pride because pride is a sin. The Bible tells us over in the book of Proverbs that pride goes before a fall. The Bible also tells us that pride is an abomination to God. And it all comes when we don't have a thankful heart. We have forgotten to thank God. We see this, how important thanksgiving is to God in this psalm right here. Now there is several, I would call them commandments, that we can see in this one little psalm that only has five verses. First we see right there in verse 1, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. You know what that tells me? God is telling us to praise Him publicly. To praise Him. That's why we have an opportunity to come to church. You know, a lot of people have the misunderstanding that church is where we come and we serve God. No, it's not. Church is where we come to worship God and praise God. The service starts when we get outside these doors. This is where we come to worship God and to praise God and allow God to fill us with His Holy Spirit, that we can get regenerated. Folks, I truly believe that when you miss your worship on Sundays especially, I think we should go to church every opportunity we get, but especially on Sunday, if you miss that one day, you have missed your worship for the whole week. And folks, God knows that we need that corporate worship. That's why He tells us over in the book of Hebrews to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He commands us to come because He knows what we need. He knows that better than we know that. He knows that we need this corporate worship. So it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, I got to go to church. Oh, I got to work in the nursery. I'm going to say this, church. I've been in a lot of churches. Every one of them has a shortage of nursery workers. Don't feel lonely. Oh, matter of fact, I was talking to Brother Terry before the service. I've thought about Brother Terry off and on all day. We need to pray for Brother Terry. He's carrying a heavy load. I've been at several churches that has had building projects going on, and just I don't ever remember one that only had one person carrying that whole load. Usually have a building committee with two or three people so they can kind of share the load. Brother Terry's carrying this whole load on his shoulders, and it's a big load. We need to be praying for him. We really do. But too many people have the idea nowadays that serving God is a drudgery, or folks, we need to serve the Lord with gladness. We need to have joy in our service. I used to tell people at the church where I pastored, I'd tell them, I'd say, you know, don't be afraid to say no. Now, let me explain that a little bit. If you're getting into something, somebody's asking you to serve and do something, and just about every church, I don't care how big or how small, I've seen churches with thousands of members and they always need help. So it don't matter what the size of the church, they're always needing help. And a lot of times, and I don't think people mean to do this, but when you have a person there that has a servant's heart, just to put it in country terms, you ride them like a barred mule. And the next thing you know, they're burnt out. My suggestion is, if God's calling you to do something, you do that. If God's not calling you to do something that someone's asking you to do, don't be afraid to say no. Because you will finally get to the point where your service to the Lord is not a joy, it's a drudgery. But if you're doing what God has called you to do, whoo, there's no better reward. You'll love it. You'll love it. So we need to make sure that we serve the Lord with gladness. And it says to come before His presence with singing. We should also have joy in our heart when we come to worship the Lord. We should have that joy. I want to skip on down to verse 4. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise and be thankful unto Him. Thankful. Folks, we should always have thanksgiving in our heart. It don't matter what's going on in our life, how bad a day we're having. Reminds me of the little old lady that she was going down in her basement one day to get something out of the basement, and she got to the top of the stairs, and she had one of those lights with the pull chain on it, and she reached out to pull it, and down the stairs she went. Head over heels, heels over head, rolled to the bottom, banging and clanging, hit the bottom of the wall at the bottom of the stairs. Laid there kind of quiet for a minute. Moved her leg. Moved her other leg. Moved her arms. Looked up and said, "Thank you, Lord. I'm glad that's over. Thank you, Lord." You can find something to be thankful for no matter what's going on in your life. I promise you. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, if you make minimum wage in this country, you're in the top 10% of the richest people in the world. And we mumble and we grumble because we don't have a newer car or a newer home and we're not satisfied with what we got. And we forget to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you have given us." We are, number one, thank God for just putting us in this nation. Do you realize that we could have been born in any other nation on the face of the earth? But God seemed fit to allow us to be in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. If that's not good enough, we are to thank God for Jesus Christ that came out of heaven, the best that heaven had to offer. He came to this lost and dying world to give us hope. Hope. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. Whoo, that ought to make a Christian shout. Folks, we were born into a lost and dying world. We were born sinners. We were headed for a place called hell with no hope, none. But God sent the best that heaven had to offer. And He came down here and He died for me, brother. He died for me because I couldn't save myself. Thank you, Lord, is all I can say. Thank you, Lord. Folks, if you live in a tar paper shack on the side of a dusty road, you ought to be able to get up every morning and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." I have had the opportunity during my working career to work side by side with people that are multimillionaires. Some of those people were so humble and good Christian men, and some of them was absolutely miserable. It didn't matter how many millions they had, they wanted millions more. I have also had the opportunity to be around people that absolutely you'd think they didn't have nothing. And they were some of the happiest, joyful people on the face of the earth because they had the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's all that mattered. That's all that mattered. And they were so thankful. Thankful. Folks, I just really feel that we have got to the point in this nation that we don't have a thankful heart. If you've got your Bible still open, turn over to Luke, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 17. And I want to read to you verses 11 through 18, talking about being thankful. I'll give you a second to get there. The Bible tells us over in the book of Luke, chapter 17, starting in verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem." The he is Jesus. When Jesus went to Jerusalem. "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them," let me say that again, "and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? 1 out of 10 thanked Jesus. And he was an outsider. You know, when you see things in the Bible, there's a reason for it. The Bible went, when this story was told, when Luke was penning this story right here, he even went to the point there in verse 16 and said, and he was a Samaritan. You know why that's important? Because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along at all. The Samaritans were a racially integrated society. They held on to the Jewish religion, but they also held on to the pagan religion. So they didn't get along with the Jews. The Jewish people would go miles around, just stay away from them. He's the one that said, "Thank you, Jesus." Sometimes I think people outside the church are more thankful than the folks inside. The one came back and glorified Jesus, or glorified God, said, "Thank you, Jesus." You notice there in verse 12 it said that, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." They had to stand afar off. If you were a leper back in those days, you were shunned. You were thrown out of the town, out of the village. You had a leper colony out by yourself. It was a life sentence. You would never be able to come back in to the village. And Jesus healed them of that. Gave them a brand new life. And they wouldn't even say thank you. Folks, do you realize Jesus has given us a brand new life? Jesus came and took us out of the hog pits and the hog wallas of the world, out of sin, and grafted us into the family of heaven. That's what Jesus has done for us. That's what Jesus has done for you and me. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what he's done for you. Gave you a brand new life. Have you said thank you lately? Have you said thank you? One other place I'm going to look, and then we're going to get ready to close. Luke chapter 12. Here's the story right here is what I'm afraid has happened to a lot of us in this country. Starting in verse 16, I want to read down through verse 21. And he spake a parable unto them. This is Jesus. When he says he, it's talking about Jesus. It says Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. 11 times this man said, I or my. Not one single time did he say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, thank you for all of these riches that you have given me. Lord, thank you for taking care of me all this time. Thank you, Lord, would go a long, long ways in this nation if we would just learn to say, thank you, Lord. Because when we get with like this man right here, and we start saying, well, what am I going to do with my boat and my four-wheeler, my ATV and all my other stuff? Well, I'm just going to build me a bigger garage and put all of my stuff in it. And I'm going to park it right beside my brand new car and my brand new motorhome. And I'm going to move my boat over and I'm going to put it right there. All my stuff. Let me say this. God don't care for you having stuff. It's the attitude you have towards that stuff. Is your attitude like this rich man? Look at my stuff. Look at what I've done. Or is it, thank you, Lord, for what you have allowed me to have. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. When we come to the point where we forget to be thankful, we start getting prideful. It's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. What a great time. I hope this, as this week comes forward and we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving with our families, we need to be thanking God for our families. We need to be thanking God for our health. Folks, if you don't really think that's something, go down to the nursing homes. Pay a little visit to the nursing homes. I remember one time I went to visit one of our church members at a nursing home, and I was sitting in there talking with them, and the doctor came in, and I said, oh, well, I'll go. I don't want to hinder you assisting this person. And that doctor said, no, do not leave. He said, you would not believe how many people in these nursing homes, someone brings them in, drops them off. They may be here for years. No one ever comes to see them. Thank you, Lord, for giving me my health. Thank you, Lord. Folks, we have so much to be thankful for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If y'all would come and get a song of invitation? I want to give you an opportunity tonight. If you got something on your heart, or I don't know, you might just want to come and say, thank you, Lord. I don't know. If I'm preaching at the end of a service, I always want to give a time for invitation, because God gives me the message, but He don't ever let me know what's on anybody's heart. That's between you and God. And you're the only one that can take care of that. So if you'll stand to your feet tonight while they sing a verse of song, if you need to come, you come on.